In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen, my beloved. We have already reached now another week passed by, and this time the church is celebrating the future saint. At that time she was Samaritan, and her name was Virginia. Later on she's become a great martyr. But here is what we heard in the Gospel. The Lord was coming and sent the disciples to get some food in the town while he sat at the well, and all of a sudden the woman comes with a pitcher, and he asked the woman to give him a drink of water. And the woman was very surprised looking at him and says, "You, a Jewish fellow, asking me for water, you Jewish fellows, you don't touch us Samaritans." And the Lord said to her, "Well, if you knew who was asking you for water, you would have asked yourself for me to give you living water. And that you wouldn't have to have any thirst after that." And so she took him literally, and she said, "Give me that water, so I won't have to be coming back and forth to fetch the water from the well." And the Lord said, "Well, first go and call your husband. Bring your husband." And she said, "I have no husband." And he says, "Well, rightly so, you said so. You had five of them, and the one that you are living with today, now he's not your husband." And so she saw that he was clairvoyant, and he wasn't just an ordinary person. And she immediately felt that he's some kind of prophet, and he started to talk to him, and the Lord started to explain to her about worshiping God. When she said, "Well, you Jewish people say that you have to worship God in Jerusalem," and when the Lord said, "It's come, that time has come where we shall worship you. You shall worship God every place, and whatever it is, God is a spirit, and you have to worship him with the spirit and the faith." And he reveals to that Samaritan woman actually that he is the Messiah, because she says, "Well, we heard that the Messiah is going to come. He's going to tell us all about these things." And the Lord said to her, "I am that Messiah." And he kept it a secret from the Jewish people, because there wasn't time yet, because it would aggravate the bishops and all the learned ones over there. And he knew he was able to, should reveal that only when it's time to for him to be crucified for us, my beloved. But here, for the Samaritan woman, he revealed his identity. Many times before, he was telling the disciples not to tell it to anybody, and even to the filthy scums, when he would cast out some of them, say, "You're the Son of God," and he would forbid him to say that. And but here he had revealed that, and she went right away back to the town, and she told the people, "Come and see, maybe this is the Messiah. He told me everything, all my secrets." And they gathered all together and went to see the Lord at the well. And in the meantime, the disciples came back, and they were very surprised that he was talking to the Samaritan woman. But they didn't dare say anything, of course. And then the people come, and he talks to them, and they start to believe, not only, and they say to the Samaritan, to the woman, "It's not from what you said, but it is, we hear it ourselves, and we believe that this is the Messiah." And they begged the Lord to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Later on, this same Fortinia was become a fervent Christian and was martyred for Christ's sake, and they have tortured her so terribly. They have put spikes underneath her fingers, then they squashed their hands, then they cut off her the ends of the breasts, and then they poured liquid marrow into her, and all kinds of terrible things they did to her. She was a great martyr, and finally they tied her up to two different trees that were penned down, and they let him go and ripped her right in half. So you see, my beloved, this is the kind of a faith that people had, these saints, and that they accepted the Lord as their Savior, and they were willing to suffer for Him, even at the terrible sufferings that Fortinia went through. And are we ready to go through sufferings? Are we asked to be martyred? Well, not. It's very few, really, people compared to the population as being asked to be martyred. But the sacrifice we have to the Lord. What do we sacrifice for Him? Well, first of all, our own will. We have to do that. We have to go against our will. I'm talking about the will of our brains and our body and so on. We have to comply with the rules of the church. We have to live according to the gospel. That's what the utmost importance. If we love the Lord, we are bound to obey Him. This is what the Lord said: if you love me, you obey my commandments. And beloved, and this is what we have to try to do. So much temptation nowadays in the world. There's so much distractions, and so difficult right now to try to keep the Lord before us, walk before the Lord, as King David had said that he had done, walks before the Lord. Well, we have to do it. We have to really try to do it. The other day I read in the life of a saint, and there's a monastery, and listen to this. The monastery's rule was that everybody would say 60 times a day, not 6 times, 60 times a day prayers, and 60 times at night. So can you imagine how much prayers this monastery was saying? And that was the rule of that monastery. Of course, we're not monks, and possibly somebody is nuns and monks, but most of us are not. And of course, the Lord doesn't expect us to say 60 times by counting, but the Lord does command us to pray at all times, and so do the apostles. And that means the prayer has to be in our heart. We have to love the Lord, and if we love the Lord, we just can't be without Him. When we even on this earth, if we love somebody very much, we want to be with them. Well, my beloved, we have to really understand that the love for the Lord must go above everybody's love, and the love that He showed to us by the crucifixion and by all the suffering they've done for us, by even coming down here to save us. No one, I think we got it together. All the love that is in the earth is still going to be just a little probably drop of the love that He showed to us in Himself, coming down, being born here on this earth, and taking the semblance of man. And He had lived here to show this away. And He didn't just come and preach, but He lived in such a way as to give us an example. And He told us, "Be ye meek and humble in heart, and then you shall find rest." As He said, "Be like me," He said, one time in the scripture, and that's what He was, meek and humble in heart, and then you will find rest. You will find peace, my beloved. Most of us are suffering from not having the peace. We're irritated, and the irritation comes, as St. John of Croatia says, it's the presence of the enemy, and when he comes. And usually, the enemy is just being inviting. We are inviting him if we judge somebody. Once once we judge somebody, I know by myself, I judge somebody, irritation just comes over like a lightning. And before, no anger can set in, and so on. And this is in the family situations. And we got to learn to stop this. We have to find peace in our heart, and we have to stop judging. Judging is allowed and is given only. The right to judge is the Lord is taking on himself. None of us have a right to judge anybody. We have to feel sorry for each other and for those when we see we're straying away from the Lord or breaking some rules. We judge the sin, but not the sinner. My beloved, let's try to utilize the wonderful time now of the Pascha. We just had the mid Pentecostal holiday will still continues to tomorrow is the last day of that celebration. So let's really understand that the Lord is offering us that living water. The living water, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is the peace. And let's accept it from the Lord. Let's beg him and ask him to continue to give us the living water. And let's not look any place else. We know the Lord is the living water, and he is the truth. And once we accept the Lord and we accept the gospel, we don't have to look any place else. We don't have to be enticed by any new ideas and new religions or anything else. We have the living water, and so let's use the living water to keep on building up our faith and the love for the Lord, so that we'll keep, be more and more joyous all the time and more peaceful, and be able to joyously continue to say, Christ is risen. Truly he is risen. Amen.